Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Good to be back. I had a great little mini vacation, so thank you for everybody that wished me to have a good vacation. I guess you could tell I was going off the rails there for a while with the news. And welcome to Roaring Truth with one of my favorite co-hosts, Jim Fetzer. Jim, before we even get started, I had a message quickly this morning from Clint, who listens to both our shows, and he said to tell you that your show last night was excellent.
Oh, terrific.
And I know you've been getting...
It had to do with Vince Foster and documents pertaining to the alleged death of Noah Posner at Sandy Hook, so... I have two different guests, both of whom were excellent. There's a lot of new stuff on Sandy Hook, by the way, Maria, that would blow you away. There's a fellow named Alan Powell from Australia I featured several times now. And the first, he came on with 100 slides, 50 about the Adam Lanza house, 50 about the school. Would you believe that was an empty house and they had to furnish it to serve as a prop? And they had photographs of the whole sequence of furnishing the house with lots of mistakes. And then they actually took moving vans in order to furnish the school. They left moving van tags up on places like classroom identification. It was a big moving van sticker on top of it. Unreal.
Where can people see that? Did he post?
Oh, it's on the real deal. This would be explosive new evidence about Sandy Hook. If they do a search, the real deal, explosive new evidence about Sandy Hook, they'll find the first one. Yeah, I can send you the link to all of the, you know, the video versions all this year.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's just terrific stuff. I brought him back to do a second about the Boston bombing, and he was finding people were walking around with the prostheses for the actors who were lying on the ground pretending they just lost them. They had bags with their prostheses so they could put them on when they finished their acting assignment.
Well, you and I both knew that they were both false flags as soon as they started. But, I mean, that's the country we live in.
Absolutely. It's just getting more and more detailed, more and more overwhelming. I mean, it's really, truly stunning.
Why do you think people don't want to hear the truth?
Well, it was very cleverly designed to have maximal emotional impact. You know, the idea that 20 children had died and 6 adults... It's seemingly overwhelming. Like in Charleston, you're supposed to have this minister and these other adults black in a black church and all that. But the whole thing is feigned. It's all a fake. We had wondered so long, you know, about the sign that said everyone must check in, about the porta potties, about the boxes of bottled water, pizza cartons in the firehouse, about everyone having name tags on lanyards that were color-coded, parents bringing kids to the site of a child shooting massacre. It would make no sense. Found the FEMA manual for the event, and the reason Wolf hasn't been able to obtain information about the porta potties is it would have shown they were delivered on the 13th, the day before the shooting officially took place, and blow the whole thing open. In fact, he pursued at his FOIA hearing in Connecticut, and Pat LaLorda, who is the first select man of Newtown, that means she's the highest elected official, admitted that the sign had been placed there by Homeland Security, and right in the manual it says that everyone must check in and that restrooms and refreshments will be provided. This is why Adam Lanza's date was recorded in the Social Security Index on the 13th, why so many donation sites went up on the 13th. I mean, it's all completely ridiculous, Maria. We have nailed this down so hard, it's unbelievable that anyone should have any doubt about it.
Absolutely. Well, it's sort of like FEMA being in New York City on September 10th. How convenient, right before September 11th. What were they doing there? But, you know, you can't talk to people because so many people just don't want to hear it. You know, the truth really seems to scare people more than the false flags do.
Yes, I know.
Anyway, as you know, I was away for a couple of days. I was blessed not to have a TV to watch the debate, if you want to call it a debate. But I did see a lot of clips online and a lot of the horrific things that went on during this debate. And I got to tell you, when you're sitting in another country watching that and reading about it, I was so ashamed of what this country has become, and a debate that looked like a reality show that even the Duggars wouldn't be on. I was like, oh my God, look how the rest of the world sees us as idiots.
I know. It's truly embarrassing. Donald Trump, of course, is a double-edged sword for the Republicans because he's threatened that if he's not treated with respect, and it'll run as an independent, which would destroy the GOP's chances of taking the presidency. Hillary is saying that Rubio is more offensive than Trump when Trump put down Megyn Kelly for being a bimbo and so forth, which was, of course, highly inappropriate. But she's going after Rubio and others up there on the stage who won't even make exceptions for rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. I mean, this anti-abortion zeal, Maria, has gone over the top.
I know, it's ridiculous. I mean, do they deliberately want to isolate female voters? They've already pretty much isolated the Hispanic vote.
Well, I think they're going to have a real problem because like 53% of the voters in the country are female. And Hillary is quite astutely going to exploit that. And obviously she's got the built-in advantage of being a woman. And I think they're taking advantage of it. They're going to make a lot of ground because of it.
Well, it sure looks as though there are a lot of stalking horses to put Hillary in office.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how any thinking woman can vote for any of them, and most of them even want to rescind legalized medical marijuana. I mean, what are we going to do, move back to the 18th century with this circus clown?
It's something like that, Maria. It's embarrassing. Now, Bernie Sanders drew a crowd of 35,000 in Portland, Oregon. I mean, that's just astonishing, 35,000. And it means he is really making an impact. And I think he and Trump both are coming across as very authentic. I think the public is fed up with phony politicians. And when they see Bernie out there and Trump, although their styles are very, very different, they both come across as completely genuine, like him or not. And Trump obviously has a lot of pluses and a lot of minuses. Bernie's steady as they go. Except that I gather he continues to support Israel. I'm not sure where he stands on the Iran deal. I'd be very disappointed if he didn't speak up on behalf of it, as Chuck Schumer has not. And the idea that Schumer could follow Harry Reid to be the head of the majority or minority, the Democratic senators in Congress, is becoming increasingly dubious, in my opinion. Schumer made the argument that he can't support it because Iran is not giving up its conventional weapons as well as any development of nuclear. But we know that's all rubbish. No nation would give up its conventional weapons. I mean, that's insane.
Right.
And we know that Iran is not pursuing nukes. Maria, did I tell you I wrote to all 98 of our senators to explain that the U.S. intelligence agencies, all 16, concluded in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing nukes, which they reaffirmed in 2011, that even the Mossad concluded in 2012 that Iran was not pursuing nukes 3 weeks before Benjamin Netanyahu went to the United Nations and asserted precisely the opposite? And equally dumbfounding, none of them seem to be familiar with international law. The Geneva Convention of 1949, for example, are very specific that no one can be punished for any crime they did not personally commit. What is going on here with these sanctions on Iran, like the sanctions on Iraq that led to the death of 500,000 Iraqi infants, is a clear violation of the Geneva Accords. It qualifies as collective punishment, which in turn is classified as a war crime. Mm-hmm. And yet we have these Republicans competing, you know, for who can impose the strongest sanctions the quickest. It's all completely outrageous. Is our Congress composed of nothing but dolts?
Obviously. And until we have term limits, I mean, some of those people have been in Congress almost as long as I've been born. But I do want to say, from what I know and what I've read about Bernie Sanders, first of all, he's not a practicing Jew. He has spoken out against Israel many times over the past several decades on the side of the Palestinians, and he's absolutely for the Iran deal. And, you know, listen, like I said, Bernie, with all the crowds he's getting, with the real money that he's amassing from regular people, you know, 20 bucks, 10 bucks, unfortunately, even though we the people will want him in office, which is evident by the crowds, you know that it's the same group of people that have already picked the next president. And that's the problem with voting. You and I have known since high school, okay, that until they get rid of the Electoral College, our vote doesn't matter. Now we have Citizens United, which made it even worse.
Well, Warren Buffett is observing that Trump support isn't going to go away. Of course, he's a member of the select crowd of billionaires, with whom Trump presumably has the greatest affinity. My understanding is Trump's children are married to very prominent Zionists who have a lot of clout, and therefore, and that Trump has made declarations about Israel being our closest ally and deserving our strongest support, which is all very, very troubling. As you know, Cynthia McKinney blew the whistle on AIPAC, where when new members come to Washington to join the Congress, they're presented with a request to sign a declaration that they'll place the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States. And if they don't sign, then find themselves confronted with a failed finance alternative candidate the next time around. So I think Cynthia was lucky she escaped the trap and served 8 different terms as a representative, a very marvelous, admirable woman. But this truth needs to get out, Maria. The American people need to understand Israel is not our friend. Israel uses the United States to benefit Israel, just as it did in relation to 9/11. Get the United States entangled in these wars in the Middle East to defeat the modern Arab states that served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the Middle East.
Well, what did you think about Obama coming out against AIPAC this week?
What was the latest that he said, Maria? I may have missed what he said most recently.
He basically came out and said that Congress needs to list to do the right thing on this Iranian deal and stop listening to AIPAC. And when I saw that, I said, oh, my God. The last president that talked about AIPAC, as far as I know, was Kennedy, and we know what happened to him.
That's absolutely right. He had required the World Jewish Congress, the predecessor to AIPAC, to register as a foreign agent. And of course, the same should be true of AIPAC. They should be registered as foreign agents. The influence is simply overwhelming. It may be that Congress is finally catching up with the brilliant work done on the Israeli lobby by the scholars from Harvard and the University of Chicago, which really revealed the extent of the corruption and control of Congress by this entity that should be registered as a foreign agent because it most certainly doesn't represent the interests of the United States.
Absolutely. Well, I know that you've been going through some stuff. You're on a new site. I don't have the name of where you're publishing it, but I know it has veterans somewhere in the title.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm now the senior editor for Veterans Truth Network, Maria. Veterans Truth Network, yes.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I'm very pleased to be working with Stu Webb and Chip Tatum and a host of others, very, very good people. And I was very appreciative of being appointed to that post.
Good. And I would assume their website's the same name, VeteransTruthNetwork.com?
Yes.
Okay, good.
VeteransTruthNetwork.com. And, of course, I'm also publishing on my own blog, JamesFetzer.blogspot.com, where some of my most recent articles concern Holocaust research. Not that it was intended to happen that way, but I was invited onto a show called Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis. It has some 200 stations. And when he got me on, I started to, you know, sketch my latest book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, which, of course, has 4 chapters over 100 pages about the moon landings, 100 pages plus about Paul McCartney having died and been replaced, which is so crucial because if you can take the most closely observed person in the world and replace him and the world basically not notice, then you can replace anyone. About the first death of Saddam Hussein, who was not tried and hung, but was taken out in a B-1 bomber raid on a restaurant on the outskirts of Baghdad on 7 April 2003, and the second death of Osama bin Laden, because he didn't die in the compound, he died a decade earlier on 15 December 2001 in Afghanistan of his medical maladies, where he was buried in an unmarked grave. There were local obituaries. Even Fox News in this instance, Maria, was on top of it, because already on 26 December 2001, they published a report, bin Laden already dead, which you still find online. I thought that was so striking, I made a copy and included it in the book. And then about the Holocaust, where we have discovered there were 236 references to 6 million Jews in dire straits or fear of the loss of their lives before the Nuremberg tribunals, beginning as early as 1890. It has no historical or empirical basis. It's a religious or theological claim based upon a disputed passage of Leviticus that's been interpreted to mean that the chosen people can return to the promised land only when they're minus 6 million consumed in the flames. But that requires an interpolation, Maria, because there's no word in the Hebrew for 6 million. So it's not surprising it's disputed. But the fact is, when I started to sketch some of this, Clyde Lewis, the host, just went ballistic, and he called in somebody he referred to as his Jew friend to attack me. He was talking about all of his lost relatives and so forth, which led me to do further research and not only publish an article about the Clyde Lewis Ground Zero thing, which is subtitled Conspiracy for Republicans, based upon some of the excellent comments where he just was hit a blizzard of complaints from his listeners for not letting me speak. They cut me off and didn't bring me back for the second hour, for example. But where I discovered that Robert Faurisson had published a brilliant article about the Ernst Zundel trials in 1985-1988, mm-hmm. where the prosecution of Zundel for denying the Holocaust was unable to produce a single witness who could withstand critical examination to having witnessed any of this personally, Maria. They couldn't find a single Holocaust witness to defend the official narrative. So I published that under the title, What About the Holocaust Victims, the Zundel Trials 1985 and 1988. And would you believe, I'm astonished that there's a professor who was at Cambridge, who's now at Warwick, whose name is Kwasim Kassam, who has received funding, and he was interviewed in The Independent to do research on why people believe conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
And he suggests that it's because they're mentally unstable, but they may also be dangerous and want to join ISIS. It's astounding to me because he's a professor of philosophy and he completely omits the role of logic and evidence. He says nothing about reason and rationality, nor that the phrase conspiracy theorist was used to stereotype critics of the Warren Commission. And make it look as though the burden of proof was upon them to explain exactly what happened, when their characteristic role is simply to point out that what the government's saying about these things doesn't add up, doesn't make sense, and is contradicted by the evidence, not only, of course, initially with JFK, but with 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, you name it, it's there.
Absolutely. Boy, I remember that Ernst Zundel, and I think he was back in the news about a year ago. I think I don't remember now if they released him and they ended up putting him back. And then I know another attorney, some woman that spoke about the Holy Holocaust, also got her ass thrown in jail. And I mean, how ridiculous is that? I mean, to me, that's no more ridiculous than somebody saying God doesn't exist. I mean, you shouldn't have to go to jail because you don't believe the myths that's out there. And I think their 6 million is absolutely a religious myth that they hide behind to make the world feel sorry for them while they're doing a Holocaust to Palestine.
The International Committee for the Red Cross was visiting all the camps, keeping meticulous records, they readjusted, recalculated their figures in 1993 and came to the conclusion 296,081 had died. But that's from all different causes, and none of them died in gas chambers using Zyklon B. In fact, Maria, I may have mentioned before, more Catholics than Jews died in Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. And I was so astonished when I read the brilliant new book, Kohlerstrom, who is a leading expert on the subject, entitled Breaking the Spell, a photograph of the British soccer team at Auschwitz that I put it on the back of the book with a caption saying, "What? You didn't know there was a British soccer team at Auschwitz?"
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out science substantiates that no one died from Zyklon B in gas chambers. In fact, they had an expert on gas chambers who testified at the Zundel trial named Fred Lochter, who explained how it would have been impossible with the facilities they have to have made this happen, that it simply wasn't technically possible. But we have discovered that a law of biochemistry would require that bodies turn pink if they died from Zyklon B, which is a form of cyanide, and that the walls of the chambers where it had been used would turn blue. But we have no reports of the pink bodies, and the only chambers whose walls turned blue were those that were used for delousing, where in fact Zyklon B was being used in copious quantities to kill body lice to prevent the spread of typhus and other infectious diseases. In other words, it was to maintain the health and hygiene of the inmates, not to put them to death. These were actually labor camps, Maria, that were being used for slave labor to benefit the war effort of the Third Reich, and you can't get any work out of a corpse.
Right. Well, we also had those kind of camps here, where Americans think it was only Japanese that were in the camps, but we also had camps where we, you know, didn't feed and starved and tortured Germans, and plenty of Italians were also thrown into those camps.
And believe it or not, Sam Walton, when he was an Army intelligence officer, was responsible for internment camps, which may have led to these special arrangements between FEMA and Walmart, so that whatever FEMA needs, they can take over Walmart's and convert them into military facilities, as is taking place as a part of Jade Helm. And they're, you know, not only erecting 8 to 9 foot high fences around the buildings, they're reconfiguring the inside. We have trucks of all the shelving being transported away. We have photographs from the inside where you can't see behind the dark curtain, but where contractors have explained they're creating prison-like facilities inside these buildings. They have one where a sign on the door says visitors must go around to the back. I mean, that's ridiculous. They put blast-proof doors that run 100 to 200 grand on some of these Walmarts. They're clearly going to be used for logistics basing. So if you need a tank, you need a helicopter, just call Walmart. They're going to be command and control centers and also for detainee processing, Maria. So they'll bring you in there and decide which FEMA camp they're going to send you to. It's all disgusting, and it's not Andy.
Right.
We had some effects in California, by the way, that are extremely troubling. A study's been done that right up until the start of Jade Helm, California was experiencing maybe one or two fires a month. Now, after Jade Helm, they have 40 or 50 fires going in California at the same time.
Right, and you know, you have to question everything, for sure. Well, obviously, Sam Walton is still running. He's still running concentration camps because anybody that works for them is basically slave labor. Maybe that's where he got the idea.
I learned something, about Wikipedia. It was really a confirmation of my previous experience because it was after I participated in a conference on academic freedom, are there limits to inquiry, using JFK, 9/11, and the Holocaust as examples. Wikipedia gutted my entry. They took all my research on JFK, 9/11, Wellstone, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing claims I was anti-Semitic and all that. More than half of the entry they obliterated, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
I had, and it was clear it was because of my participation in that conference, but I had a recent version of it, which I published explaining and showing exactly what they took out under the heading James Henry Fetzer, Wikipedia, the Free Encyclopedia, Busted. So if someone wants to see what happens to Wikipedia if you cross the line and challenge the Holocaust mythology, here's a nice illustration.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And people need to remember, you know, everybody wants to look at the Holocaust as, you know, an open-end attack on the Jews. But the first people the Germans got rid of were defective Germans. You know, they got rid of their handicapped or what they considered defective. Then they went after the gays. Then they went after the Jehovah's Witnesses. And somewhere down the line were the Jews. But they made it all about Jews. And, I mean, there were way more people, you know, way more Catholics killed than Jews. But nobody talks about that.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible how these stories, basically this myth, has been used as a political weapon to gain leverage by playing on the guilt, the sense of guilt of Western nations for allowing 6 million Jews to be gassed and cremated when it didn't happen. It just did not happen. Some of the commentators felt that this fellow, Clyde Lewis, was taken aback because I came on with such clear, well-stated arguments about this, which he couldn't cope with, which was why he brought in his Jew friend to attack me.
And who calls their friend my Jew friend? How insulting.
I know, that's what
an
said,
asshole.
Right on the air. And I included the audio track for the interview in the article entitled Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, Conspiracy for Republicans. You can find it online on both my blog and on Veterans Truth Network.
Yeah, I'll put a live link to it here because I actually have the link. You know, a little earlier you were talking about Bin Laden. And I haven't had a chance to talk to you about, I'm sure you know that three members of the Bin Laden family died in a small plane crash a few weeks ago. Do you think that was legit?
Well, no, one of these was his sister who would have had reason, you know, been in a position to explain how he had nothing to do with 9/11. When he was first confronted about it, he explained that he had nothing to do with it, that it was contrary to the tenets of the Quran to murder innocent women and children, that while he was resentful of the American military forces being stationed in Saudi Arabia, the home of Mecca and Medina, the two most holy sites in Islam, that there appeared to be a government within the government that wanted to blame this on Muslims, and no less an authority than William Jefferson Clinton made the same observation. He said, there's a government within the government, and I don't control it.
Well, didn't Kennedy say something similar?
Yeah, his whole warning, and of course Eisenhower too, about the military, you know, the growth of the military-industrial complex. But yes, JFK did make some rather sage observations about this going on in our own government.
Right. Well, you know, you look at the. First of all, I can't believe they're saying they're going to spend, $1 billion on this next election campaigning. I can't believe they're campaigning, like, what, 2 years in advance? And when you look at what...
And that's just Donald Trump.
Right. And when you look at these morons, you know, how can you not go back to JFK? You know, my head, I go right back to JFK, who I believe was the last elected president we ever had. I mean, people don't get that was a coup that day. And nothing has been right in this country since then.
I agree completely. I think that's absolutely right, because now the occupant of the office serves at the end of the barrel of a rifle and knows what could happen, how their head could be blown apart if they don't conform to the expectation of the military-industrial complex and others, including, it would appear, Israel. So, you know, I've got to commend Obama for being so forthright about the Israeli lobby, which has exerted way too much influence over Congress in the past. We have to recognize Israel is not our ally. Israel is not our friend. Israel is manipulative and deceitful and will do anything to turn American military power and financial resources to the advantage of Israel, regardless of the consequences for American citizens.
Absolutely. Well, that's why, you know, I'm so surprised to see Obama, you know, he's staying pretty much on Israel and talking about that if this deal with Iran doesn't go through. I mean, I thought it was a huge story while I was away that he said, you know, the other option's going to be World War III. I don't think he's exaggerating because, you know, that's what Israel wants. And, you know, they're the one, the elephant in the living room. They're the ones with, you know, their nuclear weapons. Why not disarm Israel? Why aren't we sending UN inspectors into Israel?
Right, right, right. People forget that Iran has signed the non-proliferation agreement. Iran has allowed inspectors. Iran has no nukes and isn't pursuing them. Israel, on the other hand, has a vast stockpile, anywhere from 200 to 600 of these little beauties, has not signed the non-proliferation treaty, won't allow inspectors. There's a problem with nuclear weapons in the Middle East, but it has nothing to do with Iran.
Absolutely. And if anybody wanted to talk who really armed Iran, it was Ronald Reagan. So people need to remember that, the big friend of Iran. Yeah, I think he's the same idiot that called the Taliban freedom fighters, if you remember. So,
well, it's very interesting how, you know, one man's insurgent or radical is another man's freedom fighter. It depends which side of the issue you're on, because we're invading Afghanistan. And from the point of view of the Afghans, those who are resisting our presence are freedom fighters, similarly in Iraq. I mean, we are so one-sided in our thinking, Maria, that we even believe we can arm Ukraine and Russia, you know, right in Russia's backyard, and then Russia's just going to passively stand by and accept. We are even getting stories that I think are merely symbolic but meant to get the point across, that Russia's proposing arming the Mexicans or, you know, resistant groups in the United States. I mean, this is how absurd our foreign policy has become under the influence of the neocons such as Susan Rice, Samantha Power, and Victoria Nuland. These are terrible people in positions of great authority, which is most unfortunate because they have a demented outlook on the world.
And on the Nuland's case, her and her husband making plenty of money off these wars.
That's right. That's right. That's right. They don't forget self-interest here. Mm-hmm. That they'll benefit their own self-interest. And in this case, the neocon agenda involves advancing Israel's interests in the Middle East. It's completely disgusting. So I'm very, very glad we're talking about that Obama is showing a great deal of courage in standing up to Israel. But where people like, you know, Chuck Schumer is being classified as one of Netanyahu's marionettes. So these are just puppets on a string.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Open Zionist. You can't miss them. That's for sure. Jim, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I want to talk some more about Jade Helm. I mean, I have my eyes all over the place in the open desert driving from Arizona to Mexico for any sight of it, especially when we pass Luke Air Force Base and places like that. And I got to tell you, it was pretty dead. But stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Welcome back to Roaring Truth with my excellent co-host, Jim Fetzer, and myself. Jim, before we even got on the air today, I did discuss with you, and I only mention where I'm going after the fact because I don't need to alert the world on where I am. I'm sure I've got a target on the back of my head. But I had gone down to Mexico, which from Arizona is really literally, you know, a three-hour drive. And now we need to have passports, not to enter Mexico, but to come back to the United States. So there's no, just say you're an American citizen and show your driver's license, no longer works. And the only unfriendliness I found was on the border from the United States side. And now instead of one checkpoint inside the state of Arizona, there are two after the border. And I was with, you know, my family, and my daughter couldn't understand why I was so upset. And I said, because I remember. And I thought about you. And I said, you know what? This is why baby boomers that are actually awake and alert, unlike most of our group that's sold out, are such a threat to the powers that be. This is why they want us dead. This is why they want to starve us. They don't, you know, they want to kill our Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. Because we remember the way this country was. We know what the law of the land was. We had an education. And a lot of young Americans just take it for granted that now you need a passport to re-enter your own country, regardless of the fact you're driving an $80,000 American car with, you know, American license plates on it. This is the new America, and it's not okay with me, Jim.
It's not okay with me either, Maria. And just in passing, you mentioned Social Security. They're still talking about reducing benefits and raising the age of eligibility when there's the simple, obvious solution. You just raise the cap on income levels that are subject to Social Security tax by 5% or 10%, and the whole solution, the whole problem is solved. So I'm just shocked that there's no one out there talking about the obvious, simple solution of uncapping the level of income at which Social Security taxes are paid. With a very modest increase, it would be solvent forever.
Well, first of all, Bernie Sanders has made it very clear that it should be increased and not decreased, that those people should be paying more, and we should be receiving more Social Security. So he's the only candidate. And when I knew that, you know, because of the powers that are in office, I know Bernie doesn't have a chance, but I know Bernie's going to bring out all the important issues. Everything, it seems, that everybody else is talking about is pot, gay rights, and crushing women's rights. Nothing about how to fix the economy, you know, nothing about the fact Social Security is solvent, I believe they said, till 2065 at the current rate, if the government stops stealing money from the account. So it's all bullshit. It's just bullshit they throw our way. And I think there was some Fox News broadcaster that suggested that we should have a van going around to seniors' homes and basically killing them, putting them to sleep, because seniors have no value.
That's so outrageous, because one of the great values you've already alluded to, namely our memory of the way this country used to be, of a time when America really was the home of the free and the land of the brave. It's stunning, Maria, how we've become such a corrupt nation to the utter core, and where our own Congress is willing to gut the Constitution that they took an oath of office to preserve, protect, and defend. The enemies are more domestic than they are foreign today, Maria. You and I recognize that, but many Americans have no idea of the difference it represents.
Well, yeah, just think about the people that were born after 9/11. They're never going to know anything but a police state. So our storytelling is going to be wasted. You know, one of the things that my granddaughters really enjoyed spending time with me is stories. You know, telling them my stories, telling them about what it was like when I was 18, when I was 20. You know, and one of my granddaughters said wistfully, "I wish I could have lived back then." They can't even imagine the freedom and the lifestyle and the options and the choices we had, even though I'm sure a lot of what we believed was also myth about America. We at least knew what our rights were, and now we see nothing except all our rights gone, pretty much gone. Now, when you have to be stopped at a checkpoint inside your own state, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I couldn't agree more. It's embarrassing. And I wanted to ask whether you'd seen any signs of Jade Helm on your way back and forth from Mexico, because it seems to me it's still...
I was very surprised, because, you know, the desert is so wide open. Believe me, you could see for miles to every direction. And even when I passed, you know, the Air Force base, you know, it was one old airplane out there. Like, it looked like something from an old black and white movie. There was absolutely nothing, no action anywhere, going or coming. And I was pretty surprised about that.
well, gee, you know, if it turns out that the American people becoming so concerned about this meant that they would scale it back, I'd be tremendously relieved, because I'm still waiting for that raid at 4 o'clock in the morning when they break through the door and attempt to haul me off.
But, you know, I think, right, we've had that conversation before. I think that when you expose them ahead of time, they have no choice but to pull it back because there's no fun in it for them. They can't surprise us with it. We're watching them. You know, it's not like, you know, the advantage they had on 9/11 or Boston bombing. 9/11 woke a lot of Americans up to the bull crap that's out there. And I think talking about it in advance, exposing it, you know, even when you had the governor of Texas get involved, the militia getting involved, I think it could have done that. But, you know, now there's so many people postulating so many different reasons for Jade Helm. And somebody had sent me a video connecting Jade Helm to artificial intelligence software programs. So these people seem to be expecting, you know, the war of the robots.
Well, the term AI can be used very broadly to use a machine to perform a task that otherwise would require a human mind. And I've done a huge amount of research on AI. I'm the founder and edited for solo for 10 years of International Journal on Artificial Intelligence, Philosophy, and Cognitive Science entitled Minds and Machines, which is still thriving and surviving amidst all the competition. It's an extremely good journal. But, you know, the AI aspect, I think, is being a bit overblown here. It is true that they appear to have a very sophisticated new program for distributing logistic support. And it may be that one aspect of this is to test out the program. And if they were all overhauling these Walmarts and making all these physical changes, I might even be amenable to the belief that this is just some kind of practice. But when they're doing that with this massive amount of equipment and troops, Maria, have to feel and a real threat to the freedom and democracy in the United States today.
Well, and the fact that no media is allowed to cover it. There's no media, they're not even embedding them to cover their false lies that they would tell an embedded journalist.
That's right. That's another very telling, very disturbing sign. But, you know, Maria, not only do we have our own military threatening the American taxpayers who are funding the military, we have the Center for Disease Control destroying documents and studies that show a link between the vaccines given to children, the MMP, and autism. I mean, the CDC should be protecting us from harm being done by Big Pharma, but it's precisely the opposite. They're working to protect Big Pharma from liability, where the government in the during the Ebola crisis took the absurd step of making these big vaccine providers immune from liability, even if they can killed 10,000 or 10 million people, they wouldn't be vulnerable, which gives them no reason to take precautions to ensure the safety of their vaccines. And in addition, the weather modification that's taking place to manage the weather involving the chemtrails depositing aluminum, barium, and strontium in the atmosphere so they can agitate the aluminum with heat sources like HARP and create high pressure zones to drive away low-pressure zones that would normally bring water and rain, are depriving the stimulation of vitamin D in our bodies. So a whole host of diseases associated with vitamin D deficiency are taking place now, Maria, because of this geoengineering of the weather. It's completely outrageous. And of course, that appears to be a major contributor to the drought in Southern California, which is affecting the richest agricultural region in the United States, which produces 40% of the produce consumed in America. And it all appears to be a part and parcel of the program Henry Kissinger outlined when he was asked, how are they going to get Americans into those FEMA camps? To which he replied with a single word, food.
Well, these people are wicked. You and I both know that. Speaking of food, you want to hear something ridiculous? We had taken food with us because we had a condo that had a kitchen with it, so we wanted to cook our own food most of the time. And coming back into the United States, the Border Patrol guy, who was all full of testosterone, asked if we had fruits and vegetables that we were bringing in from Mexico. And we replied, no, you know, just what we had with us when we went down there. But I found it so hilarious because all the fruits and vegetables in the grocery stores in Arizona are from Mexico. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, wait a minute. All the friend, my daughter was all, don't say anything, you know? And I'm like...
And they're probably much healthier for us than those that are provided by American suppliers because, you know, tests have shown, for example, that rats fed genetically modified corn become sterile within 90 days.
Well, you know, that's interesting because years ago I visited this doctor in Mexico. He was quite genius. And you know how Americans get sick when they go down there, whether it's the food, whether it's the water. And he said it's because you Americans have no immune system. Everything you have is pasteurized, cleaned to death. You know, you're not getting anything to build your immune systems. That's why you get sick. Your food is sterile. That's what he called it. And you can't.
That's very embarrassing.
Well, you can't argue with it, though. Do you know what I mean? And then I saw that article you sent me, which you were just talking about, vitamin D deficiency. And I actually looked in my own archives for a show I did in December of 2008. And the reason I had this doctor on the show, his name was Donald Miller. He was a doctor. I saw an article of his in a newspaper, to avoid the flu shot, take vitamin D3. And we did a whole show on D3 and why it's epidemic, you know, the lack of D3 in the United States, and that it really is a big crisis, and that's really your whole immune system. So he had suggested to using, you know, D3 instead of a flu shot because there's nothing in it that's going to, you know, damage you in any way. And for listeners that may have missed it, it's Dr. Donald Miller. Just put it in the search engine. It was December 2nd, 2008. And I'm very grateful, Jim, because, you know, people over a certain age, you need to have at least 10,000 units of D3 every day. And
that's very significant. Yeah, I don't think most Americans have any idea of their nutritional deficiencies and the importance of multivitamins and the like just to maintain proper health.
Absolutely. And, you know, you think about, you know, health care in America, of which I keep saying there's no care in the word health care in this country. And it just happened. My daughter was having some problems with her teeth. She had a toothache. And I said, if all your teeth feel like they're hurting, it's probably your sinuses. So we go to her dentist in Mexico. And he checks her mouth out. He did full multicolor digital x-rays, which no dentist in this country will spend the money for that machine, which basically can even tell you if you have cancer in your gums. And then he looked at her and he said, this is coming from your sinuses. Writes her a prescription for Cipro, which, as you know, is impossible to get in America, writes her a prescription for a B-complex. Now, Jim, have you ever gone to a dentist where he gives you a prescription for vitamins?
Yeah, sensational, Maria.
And when
this is a real physician, you know.
Right.
He's a dentist, but he knows, understands the human body and the principles of human health.
Right, so when she said to him, but I take, you know, B vitamins at home, and he said, this is going to go directly into your system, and these are specific to calm the pain nerves in your head. I was so impressed, I can't even tell you. And by the way, what did he charge for the visit? $30.
Isn't that something?
Listen to this. We take the prescription into a pharmacy. She gets a 6-day supply of Cipro, which was the antibiotic. She gets a month's supply of the B vitamin complex, plus a giant tube of Sensodyne, because he told her to brush her teeth with Sensodyne for a while. The total bill. Take a guess of the bill at the pharmacy.
It's going to be so embarrassingly less than you would have been charged at a Walmart right here in Wisconsin, Maria.
It came out to $16.
Isn't that something?
Now, you know, if you buy a tube of Sensodyne in the store here, it's probably going to be at least $8. And she had two prescriptions. And then they hand you back the prescription paper. So if you need more,
they
you can all...
They hand it back to you. Very good.
They hand it back. So if you need a renewal or whatever, then you just take it in. Nobody cares. And let me tell you, they're all American brand drugs. So when I look at that, and then and I told my daughter, I said, you know, people in America look at Mexico like they're a third world country, but they have more freedom than we have. You know, they have way better health care than we have. You know, you can get, you know, you can get a crown built in Mexico for $250 that looks great. And I know my dentist wants $1,200 a tooth. Okay.
I know.
And I started conversation about medical tourism because there's always a segue. You can always talk to people if you just wait for the right segue. But I was very impressed, you know, and I look at...
all fantastic.
Yeah, you look here. I mean, I had to go to the same doctor twice for him to even figure out I had an ear infection. Okay, it was $90 out of pocket, what my insurance didn't pay, per visit because the doctor was a moron. You know what I'm saying? So everybody needs to think twice before they start demonizing or calling another nation third world. You know, forget that patriot. They got to forget that patriotic flag wave and mind control because this country's going to hell in a handbasket.
I absolutely agree. By the way, I think an ironic consequence of the publication of the book, and I suppose we didn't go to the moon either, is that the Huffington Post, about 2 months after its appearance, has published an article entitled, Physicist Blows Away Moon Landing Conspiracy Theorists with One Brilliant Tweet. This is on Huffington Post in their science section, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And the brilliant tweet says, anyone who thinks we didn't go to the moon needs a new brain. I didn't think that was so brilliant. And I wound up putting up a series of comments there. I thought they'd disappear in 5 minutes, but they're still there. And if anyone wants to see a really fascinating exchange, which your friend suggested, they're allowing to stand because it's drawing a lot of readers, and the Huffington Post has been losing its readership. I had a fellow who was challenging me about the points I was making and had the opportunity to make more and more. And here are the last three ever so briefly. There are about a dozen there now. Another interesting reputation was provided by Jack White, now deceased, a legendary photo film analyst with whom I collaborated on JFK research. He made the quantitative observation that when you count up the number of photos supposedly taken and time available to have taken them, 5,771 were taken in 4,834 minutes. That means if nothing but photography had been taken, they were taking 1.19 photos every minute that man was on the moon, or a photo every 50 seconds. That one only requires addition and division. It's elementary mathematics with devastating impact. A reader sent me this to post. Jim, one more item to add to the fake moon landing. There's no way the lunar module could have broadcast a live TV image from the moon in 1969. I worked for a TV station a few years ago, and even today it takes a large room loaded with equipment to send a signal up to an antenna for live broadcast. Live broadcasts were possible in 1969, but it required a vehicle the size of a bread truck in order to produce a live remote signal. I would love to ask a NASA apologist exactly where all that equipment was situated in the limb, much less where the antenna was located that sent a signal 239,000 miles back to Earth, hilarious, Anthony Meeks. And because Buzz Aldrin had added a tweet saying, if we hadn't gone, the Russians would have exposed it, but they haven't. I added, but Aldrin tweets, the Russians would have exposed it by now if it had been a fake, but they have. Here's a brief clip that says it all, a link to a Russian post where they show Aldrin coming down off the, Armstrong coming down to make his step, and part of the set collapses, and they have to redo it, Maria.
Well, you know, it's interesting, because just a couple of days ago, I didn't trust the site that much, but the headline was that Russia is demanding that the United States come clean about the fact we never went to the moon. So, I don't know how anybody could believe that. If you think about it, the very first international satellite show was Elvis from Hawaii, okay? That was the very first one that they were able to actually show around the world on this planet. And that was, I think, in the 70s, okay? Aloha from Hawaii. But we're supposed to believe in the early 60s we were getting all this video from the moon. You know, it's kind of like the phone calls that never happened on 9/11 from the planes. Anyway, Jim, I'd love to keep this going, but we're pretty much out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining me and all the work you do.
Terrific, Maria. Welcome back. Glad to have you back in the USA, even if it's not what it ought to be.
That's for sure. All right, you take good care. Bye. Jim Fetzer, check out his body of work. Jim's got great books out there. He's constantly working. You know what? People our age don't have to care. So when we do care, you need to pay attention because we remember. I'll see you guys on Thursday when I'm back with Planet of the Apes news. Thanks for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.